You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Good morning. We'll be reading from Acts 3, 1 through 11. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them.
Un día subían Pedro y Juan al templo a las 3 de la tarde, que es la hora de la oración. Junto a la puerta llamada Hermosa había un hombre lisiado de nacimiento, al que todos los días dejaban allí para que pidiera limosna a las que entraban en el templo. Cuando este vio que Pedro y Juan estaban por entrar, les pidió limosna. Pedro, con Juan, mirándolo fijamente, le dijo, "Míranos." El hombre fijó en ellos la mirada, esperando recibir algo.
But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God.
No tengo plata ni oro, declaró Pedro, pero lo que tengo te doy. En el nombre de Jesucristo de Nazaret, levántate y anda. Y subiéndose por la mano derecha, lo levantó. Al instante, los pies y los tobillos del hombre cobraron fuerza. De un salto se puso en pie y comenzó a caminar. Luego entró con ellos en el templo con sus propios pies, saltando y alabando a Dios.
And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's.
Cuando todo el pueblo los vio caminar y alabar a Dios, lo reconocieron como el mismo hombre que acostumbraba a pedir limosnas sentado junto a la puerta del templo llamado Hermosa. Entonces se llenaron de admiración y asombrados por lo que le había sucedido. Mientras el hombre seguía aferrado a Pedro y a Juan, toda la gente que no salía de su asombro corrió hacia ellos al lugar conocido como el Pórtico de Salomón.
This is the word of our Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you all again. Thank you, gentlemen, for our reading the word of God. It brings me so much joy and honor to hear it, even in dual languages, you know, in English and Spanish. It reminds me of the faithfulness of the Lord. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you, O God. You have a message for your people. And I want to be your vessel to communicate that message, O Lord. Help me, Spirit, to be filled so that I may glorify the Son. Father, help me. Lord, I pray for the hearts and the minds of the people that are sitting out here. Pray for all the hearts and minds and that are going to hear this message, Lord, that I just pray that your Spirit would just go before me, empower me to preach your word of truth, nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I look around and interact with Christians and church leaders, I'm noticing that feeling of anxiety and discouragement. Many church leaders, many Christians are struggling with the aftermath of COVID, the COVID season, the transitions that this season brought. Some might be dealing with just transitions that didn't have anything to do with COVID. But in some way, we are all dealing with some type of challenges. These challenges, when they're brought about, they affect us mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And I think these challenges deter us from really serving God in the most efficient way. If you are struggling or you have a challenge that you've dealt with, just raise your hand and show me. All right, that's about the whole congregation. All of us in our own ways are dealing with something. We came here with a burden on our hearts, and we have come here with some problems that we are dealing with. But I pray that this sermon serves as an encouragement for us all. Many of us in this room right now, we're fitting two categories. One, we might be the disabled man. We are wounded by our circumstance, and life is hitting us in a way, and we're just trying to sustain. We're trying to get anything we can to sustain. And then some of us are like the disciples, Paul and John, that we are exposed and led to go help someone. But the problem is that many people don't feel like they are empowered with the power that God has given us to glorify Jesus. And so in today's sermon, I want to talk about what do you have? Many of us, we think that we need to have a lot of things. We think we need to have wealth. We need to have education. We think we need to have all the things that somebody else would have in order to be effective for the kingdom of God. But I want to remind us, each of us sitting in this seat, if you are a believer, a part of the family of God, there are some things that you have that you may not realize that you have that could help you to be effective in your service for the Lord Jesus. Acts 3, 1 through 11 helps to give us some things that can help us all realize that we have something that can accomplish the will of God. So, this is the theme of the sermon today. When we trust the power of the Holy Spirit, you will discover the things that the Father has given you to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Basically, in other words, God has given us some things that can help us to be effective. All right? So, you want to know what those things are? All right. Yes, sure. Okay. Well, number one, we have eyes to see problems, woes, and hurts. If you look in verse number one, you see Peter and John, they're going up to the temple to pray at the ninth hour. This is in the early afternoon. They're going up to the temple because this is their daily thing. They're going into the temple. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, they're going in the temple and they're meeting people and they're sharing the gospel and the church is being built. People are being added on to the body of Jesus Christ. And when they go into the temple, they see a disabled man, lame from birth, that sits at the gate of the temple. So I want to pause for just a second there about this lame man. This lame man is someone that is overlooked in the society. All right? He probably doesn't have a lot because he's not able to work. So he doesn't have a lot of resources. Probably, I don't know, maybe his family may not fully be around to support because it might be an extra burden. But yet, there's some people that help carry him to the temple so that he can at least beg for alms. Because after all, faithful Jews will be faithful to what God has said in the Old Testament and give their monies. But when we come to verse 4, there is a thing that happens in the story. John and Peter directed their gaze to this man. If you have a Bible, that's a great statement to underline. This statement in the scriptures helps us to know that they had eyes to not just overlook people, but to actually see the need, the burden, the woe, the hurt, the wound of this disabled man. And to be able to look this man straight directly in the eye to call his attention as if, you know what, this moment is not just let me go and just do my daily worship. Let me just go and just surrender my daily prayers. But let me, with spiritual eyes, look and see those who are in need and call for attention. He says in verse number 4, and Peter directed his gaze to him as John did from there. And he, who's a disabled man, fixes attention on them, expecting to receive something. This is a very important statement. I want to ask us a question. Because, you know, we're in Chicago. Many of us, we go to stoplights. You might be walking down the street, and you might see somebody with a sign out saying, "Help me." And now, What are some of the ways that we respond to it? And we can be honest. Think about it. Some of us might be like, you know what? Let me put my head down so I don't see that person. Some of us might be locking our doors to make sure they can't get in the car. Some of us are in that moment praying to God, can this light change any quicker? And can these cars move any faster? Because many of us don't want to have eyes to see those who are around us that are hurting, that are wounded, that need us. My question to you is, how many people do we overlook when we're just navigating our day? We could be coming here for worship. We can be coming for Bible study. who are the individuals that the Holy Spirit is calling you to direct your gaze and come into eye contact with? Sometimes we don't realize that the fact that we could see a person is kind of half of the battle, because sometimes someone is looking for a person, and they may be looking for one of you that are sitting in this audience to say, man, can you just see me today? Can you see my burden today? Can you see my need? Would you call your attention to it? I think this is so important, because many people in church, they kind of just give up. They kind of just say, you know what? I've done my share. I've been saved for 40 years. I've done my time. Some of us are like, you know what? I'm not in the best physical health. Some of us are like, you know what? I don't want to do that because I don't think I'm smart enough. I never was a smart person. I never liked school. I'll leave it to those smart people down there. Some of us are like, well, I don't know a lot of Bible. I don't come from this kind of family. Maybe my parents were not in ministry. So I'll just say, no, I don't want to deal with that. But God is calling us to have our eyes looking for people that need us and that need our help. So what's the second thing that we have? We have supernatural power from God. Verses 6 through 8. I just want to read it again. But Peter said to him, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. I just think that statement is so pivotal, and I think this is just like, sets the tone for the whole text. He says, I'll read it again. I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, and he began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. If you remember some verses prior to that, this is after Pentecost. Church is on fire. The Holy Spirit is outpoured. And they're now just got this power to just go in the temples to their friends, to their neighbors, to just share the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel of what Christ have done. And people are like, we're receptive to this truth. And now, because they're receptive to this truth, they're like, hey, we want to be a part of the body of God. And this is happening on a daily. It's like every time they walk to church, they're interacting with people in the temple. They're seeing people. They're interacting. They're sharing the love of Jesus. And people are like, wow, I'm captivated. I'm captivated by the love of God. I want to be a part of this. What must I do to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter tells this man that he has no money. That's what the man was looking for. But he tells him he has authority from God. I'm going to veer off just a little slight second off of my script. How many of us use the fact that we don't have money as an excuse to not serve? How many of us say, well, you know what? I'll let the rich people do it. They got money. I don't have money. I'm barely making my bills. I'm barely putting two pennies together to make it work. How many of us use that as an excuse to say, you know what? I'm not going to help somebody. I'm not going to share the gospel. I'm not going to minister. I'm not going to be led of God to go and see people because they want my money and all, that's all they want. And because they want my money, I don't have no money. So if I just stay where I am, then I don't have to deal with it. How many of us look back to what we used to do and instead of ahead of where God can take us? Well, when 20 years ago, I was doing everything. I did this, I did that. 20 years ago, man, we used to do this, we used to do that. One of the things that I've noticed about this text, and if you look at the book of Acts, the book of Acts is a historical account. Luke is trying to write of some things that happened in the early church. But the reason why he was writing that was because he was trying to encourage people to know that if the power of God is residing now, that we can have hope that we, the people that belong to the church of God, would have the authority that God would give us for the right now and for the future. We look at a historical account and sometimes we look at it and we say, that's history. We look at the history of us being here at Bethany Baptist Church and we say, that's history. We look at our families and we say, that's history. But God is trying to invigorate a new passion in us to say, every one of us sitting here right now is a value to the kingdom of God. And I've given everybody in this room that is a blood-washed believer, committed to the Lord Jesus, authority to serve in an effective way. Do you believe that? Say amen. 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 So my question is, where are we at? Do you believe that you're fully operating in the authority that God has given you? And I don't want us to be like, I'm not trying to be spooky about the authority of God. I'm just talking about God gives us authority to do the work of the kingdom. Many of us think kingdom work, you have to be qualified before entering into the kingdom. And sometimes I've heard this phrase over and over again, and I'm learning in this season of life to really hold to this phrase that God does not qualify the call, but those he call, he qualifies. But this is the thing that we see. We see a lot of Christians say, hey, brother, sister, can you help out with this? Oh, no, I can't do it today. And it might have some legitimate reasons. You might be feeling down. But then there's like an ongoing, a reflection of the heart. Where your heart is like, you know what? I'm tired. I give up. I'm depressed. There's no hope. Where is God? I need to see something. And God is like, you have been given power from on high. Church, let me encourage you. That's more than silver and gold. Yeah, that's a blessing. Let me tell you something. The money in your bank account and every asset, property that you have does not compete with the power and the authority that Christ has given you. And I just want to encourage us with that because I'm looking at a lot of defeated Christians that are like, let's just throw the towel in. Let's just give up. You know, God will take care of it, right? But what if God is calling you, my brother? What if God is calling you, my sister, in the state that you're in?
where you are, where you're working at, your background, your where you work, your family, God is calling you to say, I need you to take that authority and take somebody by the hand and help them to walk where they were not walking. To help somebody to get a full, complete transformation in their life versus just some meager coins to sustain them for the day. What if God can call you to be that person? What would you do? Would you say, oh God, no, not me. I've given my time. Oh God, not me. I don't have the money. Oh God, not me. I didn't go to seminary. Oh God, not me. And you could just put whatever excuse up there. What did the scripture say? The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are what? Few. But then he says, pray that the Lord will send those in the harvest. Let me tell you something. I'm looking at a group of people that are sitting before me that can go out into the harvest. Do you believe that? No, seriously, do we believe that? That God is calling you to go in the harvest. Look at your neighborhood. Look at how God is bringing so many people into your neighborhood. So many neighbors, so many newcomers that need the touch that God has given you so that they can see God. Don't you believe that God is not done with you? Don't you believe that God can enable you and that if you have God, you have more than anything else that you could ever need to do the work of the ministry? I know one of the songs we were singing about in worship today was when we cried out to God about using us in our weakness. Sometimes I think weakness should be a reminder that we need God and that we can't do it without God. But if we're not careful, and let me tell you something, I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm not just preaching to the choir, but I'm preaching to myself. Sometimes we will take our weaknesses as an excuse to bail out on the things that God have called us to do as a church. And we cannot afford to do that. We cannot. Why? Because there are some broken people out there that need the love of Jesus, that are in your neighborhoods, that you walk past in the grocery store, that you go to the Target down the street, that you go to the restaurant and you see them, the school right down the street. There are kids that are coming from broken homes, that are broken themselves, that need somebody, that need the light, the salt of the earth, to go and say, Jesus loves you. I'm called to be a blessing to you today. And some of us, we might be discouraged because, you know what? It needs to look like X, Y, and Z. Some of us are discouraged because you've just been going through a challenge. God, if I could just get out of this challenge, God, hear me, oh Lord. I will be better fit use for you. But what if God is putting a challenge in our lives to call us back, to say, you needed me in the first place. Come back to me. Sorry, I got off the notes a little bit. But I want to be an encouragement to you all because I'm looking at brothers and sisters in the faith that are like giving up on God. They're giving up. They're like, well. And I want to encourage you all. Don't give up. You don't have to give up. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your educational background. I don't care if you are bilingual, not, you know English. Don't give up on God. God is faithful. He can use all of you, and he can put some stuff in you to be a blessing and a benefit for the kingdom of God. Do you believe it? That's just the concern. We have supernatural power that's been given of God. There's one more thing that we have. We have a message of God. This week, I encourage you to just continue to read the book, chapter 3 of Acts. This man is happy. He's excited. He's leaping around the temple, and people are excited. They're like, wait, we need to be around those guys, because those guys, man, they can do some things that we need, because we're all caught up. We want to see the signs and the wonders. Like, man, if he can heal that, let me bring my aunt. Let me bring my child. Oh, man, let me bring everybody I can think of to get this healing. But Peter, I just love Peter. Peter, this is when he tapped into his boldness. And if you think about Peter, you know, Peter's a pure example of this. He taps into his boldness. The Peter that you see now in the Acts is not the Peter that denied Jesus and ran away and then afterwards went fishing. The Peter that we see is a Peter that's empowered with the fullness of God, walking and operating in the Spirit to be a blessing for the glory of God. I won't read the full sermon, but I'll read verses 11 and 12. He says, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. The portico is just like a porch. It's a special area, like a porch area outside. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power and piety we have made him walk? I would encourage you to read the rest of that as he gives this message of God. He gives a clear message to show that God is the source of our power. He's the one that gets all the glory. Sometimes when we go out and we minister to people, and we share the gospel, and we help families out, and we're being a blessing to those, our neighbors in this community, some people might be like, oh, wow. Man, that church is down there. There's some really nice people down there. Oh, they helped me out. They were there for me. My life was going this way, but because I met Sister So-and-so, or a brother so-and-so, man, my life has now changed. And other people are witnessing this ministry and help that you have done. Remember this, you have a message of God. What's this message of God? God, the creator of heaven and earth, is all powerful. He demonstrated his power on the cross. Sometimes we don't look at a cross as power. But he willingly went to the cross, got abused, and he gave his life. I don't know. My Bible says, like, he willingly gave his life. He says, no man takes my life. I willingly give my life and lay it down. And Peter, you know, kind of sends some shots throughout that message. And he says, you know, the one that you crucified, the one that you denied, the one that, but this that you see is not no work of our own. What's this message of God? This message is only God can do it. And if you don't have the power of God, it can't be done. I want you to think about the time, as we close, when you got saved. I want you to think about where you were, the family, the situation, the pain that you were in. Think about how the Lord changed you, how he changed your life around. Think about your life now. And you all agree, only God could save me and change me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, if only God can change me, then what must I do? I must trust God. But my trust in God don't stop at salvation. See, a lot of us, we could trust God for our salvation, but now we can't trust him to live our life in sanctification as we serve. Our salvation was the foundational point to know that God is who he says he is, and he can do a transformation inside of me. But now, this message, as I serve others, is that only God has the power, and he gives the power to those who are committed to him. Beloved, are you committed to him? Some of us might be sitting here and you say, well, I'm not really committed. I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. I'm this man that's sitting by the temple and I'm wounded and I'm burdened and I'm challenged in life right now. And I need hope beyond today. My brother, my sister, whoever you are, I would say trust Jesus. His hands and his arms are open wide. Then there's another group of us that would say, I trust Jesus, but our spiritual lives have been just dormant. We haven't been doing much. We've just been sitting. We haven't really been active, and we've been giving every excuse in the book. And God is calling you. As you still have breath in your body, God is calling you each and every day to be the salt and the light of the world. The big question is, will you? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I just want to pray right now for Bethany Baptist. I want to pray for everyone that's sitting here, Lord, right now, Lord. You have called them to this church. You have called them to this assembly, not to just sit, but to go out and to serve. God, I just pray that your spirit could fill these willing vessels to be a blessing despite whatever challenges they are facing, Lord. And I just pray for the challenges and the burdens and the woes and the hurts and the pains of various individuals in this congregation. God, I just pray, Lord, you know how to be a mender. You are the great physician, and you know how to heal our brokenness. And God, I just pray that you heal our brokenness. But Lord, I pray that you will empower your people to do a work, Lord. There are so many people in this community that are lacking and need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They need that transformation that only you can provide, dear Father. And God, I just pray for willing vessels to surrender so that they will be filled and that they will acknowledge the things that they have to be a blessing
to those around. For your glory, O God, help us, each and every one of us, to do all for your glory, O God. Help us to serve faithfully for your glory, Lord. I just pray for people that are like, Lord, that they would that the spirit of boldness and willingness would come up inside of them, that they will be willing to just be able to surrender and do their part for the glory of you, Master. Help us, God. Help us, oh God. Lord, we need you, and we cannot do this without you. In Jesus' name, I pray, in his precious holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.